was a very little man, and a very little man was he. He climbed up into a sycamore tree for the Savior he wanted to see. And when the Savior passed that way, he looked into the tree and said, "Now, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm coming to your house for tea." Zacchaeus was a very little man, and a very little man was he. He climbed up into a sycamore tree for the Savior he wanted to see.
Hello everyone, my name is Simon Carver and welcome to Dagnall Street Baptist Church's podcast service for Sunday the 9th of May. As you may have guessed from the song that you've just heard, the theme of our service is the meeting between Jesus and Zacchaeus that took place in Jericho. Our music today includes some 1960s soul as well as a contemporary gospel song. We'll hear songs from the Iona and Teze communities and "We Seek Your Kingdom," a modern song to a familiar tune that is central to this year's Thy Kingdom Come celebrations. Our reader today is Paula Idiels. This morning's service in our building will be an all-age messy church service. If you can't be there, look out for the highlights on YouTube next week. I'm now going to read some verses from Psalm 32. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and didn't cover up my iniquity. I said, "I will confess my transgressions to the Lord," and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance.
Just when the party's over, the thrill is gone. I hear a new voice saying, "He's only begun." He says that he wants to guide me to brighter days. He says he would walk beside me and open up a way. So of him was distant, my image was wrong. Turns out he's so much closer and oh so deep. My faith in him so much bolder, my direction is clear. So I will
God of relationships, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, together and as one. You draw us into friendship with you so that we may draw others. You command us to love as you have loved, that we might inspire others. You fill our hearts with the passion of your heart, that we might serve others. You are the truest of friends, the most faithful friend, the most enduring. And we praise you for all you are and more. God of all, we give you thanks for the gift of friendship, for the giving and the receiving, for the opportunities and the challenges, for the laughter and the tears, for the conversations and the silence, for the moments and the memories. Draw us deeper into your love and bless us with the confidence to proclaim Jesus as our dearest friend, teacher, and saviour. Creator God, you've called us to worship you, chosen us to be your friends, and invited us to extend that friendship to your people in all the world. May we live as Jesus lived, serve as Jesus served, and love as Jesus loved, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. "Zacchaeus," he said, "quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today." Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. "He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner," they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, "I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much." Jesus responded, "Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. "Zacchaeus," he said, "quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today." Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. "He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner," they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, "I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much." Jesus responded, "Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost."
Everything is moving and everything is changing. Science tells us that our idea of time is derived from the way in which the universe came into being. From a single point, the universe exploded into being. Stars have been flung far into space. Light has travelled away from this point, and the distance that this light has travelled tells us the age of the universe. Everything is moving, everything is changing. And this fits with our contemporary ideas about progress. We expect the world to change. We expect things to get better. If we buy a new washing machine or television, we expect that it will be better than our last one. We expect our washing machine to get our clothes cleaner and drier, and that our television will have a bigger and better picture. This is the nature of technological change, that it progresses. And the same can be said about social change. We expect that our experience of life will get better. But that isn't always true. Until the 20th century, social changes in human history had occurred fairly slowly, although there have been some notable exceptions. One of these was the American Revolution that lasted from 1775 to 1783. While many settlers went to America to escape religious persecution in Europe, the Revolution owed much more to secular philosophy than to religious ideas. There was one significant idea that was central to the philosophy of men like Thomas Jefferson that fits very well with the Christian idea of salvation. And this is that there is an opportunity to begin again in a new world. Of course, for the revolutionaries, the new world was the continent of the Americas, where people could live in freedom without fear of oppression from a tyrannical ruler, a king. For Christians, the new world is the kingdom of God, in which people can be given a fresh start and a clean slate on which to write their lives. Today we're looking at the idea of change, of revolution, and our Bible passage is about a man who met Jesus and who changed, who experienced a revolution in his life. Zacchaeus was a tax collector, and not just any ordinary tax collector. He was, we're told, a chief tax collector. So if tax collectors in general were sinners, Zacchaeus was a chief amongst sinners. And the story goes like this. Jesus was coming into town. Zacchaeus wanted to see him. He was a short man, so he climbed a tree to get a better view. Jesus spotted him, called him down, and told Zacchaeus that he was going to come to his house for tea. The crowd were upset at this and muttered to themselves about Zacchaeus and his villainy. Zacchaeus responded by telling Jesus he would give half of all he owned to the poor and repay anyone he'd overcharged four times what he owed. And Jesus said to Zacchaeus, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." There had been a revolution, and the revolution was Jesus. Jesus was the new world. The traditional view of Zacchaeus is that here was a wrong'un who met Jesus and was overnight transformed into someone fit for the kingdom of God. And on the surface, this makes sense. But if we delve a little deeper, we might see that there was something else going on. The story of Zacchaeus comes at the beginning of Luke chapter 19. But if we turn back to chapter 18, we find three other stories that could help us to see Zacchaeus in a different light. In chapter 18, Luke tells us the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector, the rich young man and the blind beggar. In the first story, a tax collector is painted in a favourable light because he confessed before God that he was a sinner. The second story is about a wealthy man who wants to have eternal life. Despite having kept all the laws of Moses, Jesus tells the man that he must give away all his money to the poor before he can follow Jesus. The third story is about a blind man who cried out to Jesus, "Son of David, have mercy on me," and asked for his sight to be restored. Now, if we bring all these stories together, and if they have any connection with what happened with Zacchaeus, it seems as if Zacchaeus might not have been such a wrong'un after all. I know that I've mentioned this in the past, but there is a case for suggesting that when Zacchaeus speaks about giving half his money away and of repaying four times what he's overcharged, he is actually referring to his current practice. The verbs that Luke uses are both in the present tense. So Zacchaeus is saying, I already give to the poor, and I repay what I overcharge, rather than I will do this in the future. While the crowds around him see him as one of the hated tax collectors who extort money from them to pay to the Romans, perhaps, unbeknownst to them, Zacchaeus was actually one of the good guys. Whether or not Zacchaeus' actions were his present practice or a future vow to make good what he'd taken and shouldn't have taken has a bearing on how we interpret Jesus inviting himself to Zacchaeus' house for tea. Either Jesus was affirming Zacchaeus as a righteous man, or Zacchaeus was responding to Jesus reaching out to him. There is a significant difference here, you'll see, but we needn't concern ourselves too much over it, because there is one fact that is incontrovertible. This is that Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. Zacchaeus was looking for something when he climbed the tree. He was looking for Jesus. But what did he hope might happen if and when he found him? We can speculate over why Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, but my suggestion is that Zacchaeus was looking for a change in his life. And I also want to suggest that Zacchaeus was looking to belong. Believing and belonging are two words that are frequently used when people talk about people coming to church and coming to faith. Believing without belonging was a phrase coined by Grace Davey, a sociologist, in a book with that phrase as a subtitle that was published in 1994. Davey's thesis was that in post-war Britain people tended to believe in something without wanting to join the institutional church. Nearly 30 years later, this idea already seems out of date as significantly fewer people now profess belief in a deity. What is interesting is that while this has affected church attendance, it hasn't done so, perhaps, as much as might be expected. This is because there are people who want to belong, but have yet to find belief. One of the reasons why people who were called Baptists first met together and baptized believers was because they believed that the church consisted only of believers, and not people who happened to have been born in a particular place or to a particular family. They believed, like their Roman Catholic sisters and brothers, that baptism was the way in which people entered the church. But because they believed that the church could only consist of believers, then baptism also must only be for believers. Now, as a Baptist minister, it's hard for me to disagree with this model of the church, but it does have its difficulties. Specifically, how do people move from being outsiders to becoming members of a church? The answer is, of course, that the church is a community that includes those who are members and those who are not. It includes those who are believers and those who are not. While it's right that only those who are believers should be church members, it is quite appropriate that what we call the wider church community should not exclude those who've not yet found faith. I believe that there is a precedent for this in what we know of the life of Jesus. He mixed with all sorts of people. There were the 12 disciples, not all of whom proved to be fully on message. And then there was the larger group of people numbering into the thousands who followed him and heard him preach. There were also those who were secret disciples, such as Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, who believed but kept their distance. Then there were those with whom Jesus ate and drank, Pharisees, tax collectors, and miscellaneous other sinners. The community of Jesus was not uniformly orthodox in its beliefs, and if it was good enough for Jesus, then I think it's good enough for me. However, I can't let go of Zacchaeus and his climbing that tree. When Jesus called him down, he included him in the community of God's kingdom, although we shall never know whether that translated into Zacchaeus being included into the community of his friends and neighbours in Jericho. I also believe that when Jesus reached out to him, Zacchaeus experienced his life having changed. Whether Zacchaeus' generosity was new, or whether it was what prompted his desire to meet Jesus, it was meeting Jesus that effected a change in his life. The community of a church is made up of different people. Some of us are in the thick of things, others of us come less frequently, and we have less engagement with the activities of the church. And this is okay. Far be it from me to identify those who are not members of this church with tax collectors, sinners, and prostitutes. But Jesus welcomed all comers, and so do we. You may know these words of the American poet Maya Angelou. While people may forget what you said and did, they always remember how you made them feel. And it's the job of all of us to welcome the stranger and to make everyone feel loved. It's often said that the church is not for good people, it's for bad people who want to get better. Or, as Jesus put it, healthy people don't need a doctor. When we come together, and we means all of us, we come to meet Jesus because we are all sick and we all need to be made better. We have come to meet Jesus because we want to change and we know that we cannot change ourselves. When we read the gospel stories, we find a variety of people coming to meet Jesus. There were rich people, poor people, people who would have been considered upstanding members of society, and there were those who were definitely not. There were those who ran to Jesus, those who watched and waited for him to come past, and there were those whose friends or family brought them to Jesus or brought Jesus to them. And that seems to be a good picture of how we come to be in our church community. Some of us are those who have been following Jesus around for some time, while others of us are still looking for him. Some of us have come on our own, but others of us were brought by parents, husbands, wives, or friends. At the end of Matthew's story about Jesus, we hear Jesus say, "Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations." A disciple of Jesus is someone who sought Jesus, someone who has been found by Jesus, and someone who has decided to follow Jesus. Having come to a community of the church with the hope of finding Jesus, we are then called to be part of the community because we have found him. To be a disciple of Jesus is not a solitary calling. Tom Wright has written, "It is as impossible, unnecessary, and undesirable to be a Christian all by yourself as it is to be a newborn baby all by yourself. The church is first and foremost a community, a collection of people who belong to one another because they belong to God, the God we know in and through Jesus." I am pleased that our church community at Dagnall Street involves people who are searching for Jesus and others who are seeking to follow him. It's a source of great encouragement to me and to others when new people become part of the community. What gives me an even greater thrill is when those who've climbed the tree and been found by Jesus bring others to meet him too. Being a disciple of Jesus is not just about following Jesus ourselves. It's also about encouraging others. It's about encouraging those who are part of the community already. But it's also about bringing new people who are looking for a change in their life. It's about disciples making disciples who disciple. We might imagine a flash of horror went across Zacchaeus' mind when Jesus said that he was going to come to his home. He might have thought, "Did I make the bed when I went out this morning? Is there milk in the fridge? Have I got anything in the freezer I could defrost on the quick to serve this honoured guest?" Zacchaeus might have thought these things, but he had no time to do anything about any of them. Salvation was coming to his house, and he had no time to prepare for it. Of course, that's true of any of us when we look salvation in the face. There is no time to prepare. But the reality of this is also that there is nothing that we can do to prepare. There is no time and no need to make ourselves look better than we are. Having climbed the tree and been found by Jesus, Zacchaeus took Jesus home with him. I imagine that having done so, Zacchaeus also wanted to follow Jesus. For some people, this took the form of literally following him, going where he went. But we must assume that not all of those who followed Jesus around Galilee also followed him down to Jerusalem. And sometimes we're called to stay. For Zacchaeus, following Jesus meant living like Jesus, loving his neighbour as he loved himself, and being that most unusual of creatures, an honest tax collector. Now everyone who's listening to me speaking now has made some sort of step towards seeing Jesus. You wouldn't be listening to this unless you had. And without wishing to push the metaphor too far, now we're here, listening to what I'm saying. We have to climb the tree. And climbing the tree makes us vulnerable. It makes us vulnerable because in so doing, we open ourselves up to Jesus. In climbing the tree, we're saying, I want to change. I want to begin again.
Call your name. Will you go where you don't know and never be?
God of love, friend to those in power. With the local elections this week, we are reminded of the privilege we have in being able to engage in democracy and vote. Whatever our political leanings, we pray for those who have retained or gained places on our local councils. May they be diligent in working for the communities they serve, passionate about improving the lives of others, and open to listening to views different from their own. Equip all of our political representatives with the gifts of thoughtfulness, grace, and integrity. God of love, friend to those in pain. We look at the situation unfolding in India and continue to feel despair for those who are ill and dying, and for those grieving for loved ones. We pray for the urgent supplies India needs to arrive quickly. We pray for more oxygen, medicine, and vaccines. May countries who have plenty be generous in their response to the crisis. Please bring the people of India some signs of improvement and some signs of hope. God of love, friend to those who are tired. Even though we are moving out of crisis mode, we know that many of our medics and nursing staff are exhausted after a year of COVID. Help those in the NHS who are weary and tired find rest and renewed enthusiasm for their work. There are also many members of our wider communities left with long COVID symptoms, struggling with daily life. We ask for insightful research into the after effects of coronavirus and ways to help those who are finding it hard to return to normal life. God of love, friend to those who are struggling. As the country opens up and some of us move back to real life meetings or going out to work, we are aware that there are many for whom the pandemic has brought profound change to their circumstances. We think of the people who've lost their jobs and face financial hardship as a result. We ask for resilience in the face of such difficult times. Perseverance as people seek new work and try to cope with the demands of everyday life. And courage to face the challenges each new day brings. God of love, friend of our friends. Thank you for the gift of friendship. Thank you for the people who bring fun and joy into our lives. Thank you for the warmth friends bring. Thank you that once again we can see those we love and enjoy their company. Despite the pain and struggle this year has wrought, we thank you for the friends that have helped us, stuck by us, cheered us up, listened and sympathized, and helped us cope. Bless our friends and help us to look to Jesus to learn how to deepen our relationships and live the life of love that he modeled. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. history's page. Make us again what we were made to be. Transform, revive, and heal society.
We're going to end our service with a sweet soul song sung by James Taylor, How Sweet It Is to Be Loved by You. If it seems a strange choice, have a look at the lyrics printed in our service sheet, and especially the beginning of the second verse. I close my eyes at night, wondering where I would be without you in my life. But first, a final prayer. May God, who seeks and saves, who invites and welcomes, who loves and cherishes, be our strength today and every day. Amen.
Understand my ups and downs. There you were, with sweet love and devotion, deeply touching my emotion. I want to stop. Thank you, baby. I want to stop. And thank you, baby. Yes, I do.
How sweet it is to be loved.
So fine.
How sweet it is to be loved by you.
I close my eyes at night, wondering where would I be without you in my life. Everything I did was just a bore. Everywhere I went, it seems I'd been there. Thank you, baby. Oh, yes.
How sweet it is to be loved by you.
It's just like sugar sometimes.
How sweet it is to be loved by you.
Oh, yeah. You were better to me than I was.
baby. I just wanna stop and thank you, baby. Oh, yes.
How sweet it is to be loved by you. How sweet it is to be loved by you.
Oh, now.
How sweet it is to be loved by you.
It's like jelly, baby.